so unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How
what's,
are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And, yep. Most regrettable.
This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite people ever. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law in downtown DeQueen, licensed in Arkansas and Oklahoma. She can handle many of your legal needs, divorce, custody, land deeds, you name it. And if she can't perform the legal task you need, she will refer you to the best person for the job. Give her a call today at 870-642-4462 or stop by. She's on the north side of the courthouse, on the square in historic downtown DeQueen. Utilize her 20 plus years of experience and you will never look back. A huge thanks to all the support she gives us for sponsoring Regrettable. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law. There we go. Podcast, Regrettable Podcast, episode 70. Getting in the books right now. 70. That's a big, you know, that's a thing. It's something. We ought to really start doing two a week. I know it seems like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I have that much to say, but most podcasts will go two a week, and that's how it's like, hey, after our first year, we're at 150 episodes or whatever.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
It's going to take us forever to reach, you know, a respectable episode count.
52 a year.
Yeah, 52 a year.
Maybe
minus
50.
One, really.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 50 last year because we missed two screpisodes.
Maybe I like the whole quality over quantity thing, though.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. Maybe
we can produce both.
Yeah, maybe 14 of the weeks we do another like a special episode, so you get 75 a year.
Patreon exclusive. Go join us on Patreon. No, we don't got no Patreon. Although I don't think it costs much or anything to like set it up. People want to give us money. Patreon. If you want to give us money, reach out and maybe we'll. See,
everybody's got a Patreon nowadays.
Yeah. Big shout out. We have a listener that's brought us beer.
That's true.
And we love that man.
That is very, very true. He brings us donuts and all kinds of prizes during, like gifts and whatnot.
It's been a while, though. I feel like, what have we done?
What have we done? Yeah, I think he's working extra hard, right now.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Could it be the lack of Facebook Live? I don't know.
It's that, too.
Might be.
He may be shunning us for not playing as much Facebook Live.
Maybe we said the wrong thing.
Yeah,
could be. Maybe saying he was the favorite of all of them.
And then at that, now he has to take a back off from it a little bit. He says that people are always like, you're getting all the prizes, you know.
Yeah, you always win. I wonder why, because you do stuff for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I'm down to give it to
interaction's key.
Bribe me. Yeah. That's bribe me all the way.
Yeah, short of payola.
Yeah.
He ain't asking us to play any music.
That's
for
right.
Him.
We did have a guy come into the radio station for like a month solid. The first thing he did is he came in and he was like, I got a recording of my band or me.
For real?
And he was like, I was wondering if you can play it. And he was wondering how to get it to me, like on cassette or something. I'm like, dude, either you can. First thing I did is like, here's my email.
Yeah,
just email me the thing.
Of course.
And he never did that. I guess he couldn't figure it out. So he came by with a USB.
Okay, that's better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah. Put USB. It in. Listen to it. I was like, I'm not gonna waste any time that we have with that.
Rough editing?
It was not great. Like not great quality. It was echoey. It wasn't. I couldn't even tell really what it was. It was kind of like a Spanish. Country music type thing.
Interesting.
I had the displeasure of talking to him one day. At first, I thought he was an active shooter. The way he walked in, he's got a very much like an active shooter kind of personality about him.
I love it.
And talking to him for a little bit, he definitely has no way with words, which is a very bad foundation for getting into music.
True.
You should have some skill with words. This guy seemed to have none. Talking to him a little bit, I was just like, you know, what you might want to consider is like, start up a YouTube channel or SoundCloud. You know, there's ways to get your music out there, and he had not heard of any of those things.
Mm.
I was like, you know, complete your 12th grade education.
Ouch.
And then maybe take it from there.
Well, even if you're not interested in school, you can take an interest in, you know, the things it takes to get your music out to the public nowadays.
Yeah.
And, you know, work hard at, you know, YouTube it. We talk about YouTube and things that we got to, you know, take care of business that we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
you can YouTube.
How to use YouTube.
How to use SoundCloud. Well, yeah. If you don't know YouTube, you got some issues.
You got to Google how to use YouTube. Yeah. You can YouTube how to use SoundCloud.
No, you Bing how to get to Google.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Google how to get to YouTube.
You forgot the phrase. You got to ask Jeeves how to get to Bing.
Yeah. Is that Jeeves? Is that still around?
No, probably not, but it's a Yahoo now. So you got a Yahoo out of Bing, because Yahoo really is actually the worst of them all. I think Bing is even better than Yahoo.
Microsoft's been working on itself for the past couple years too.
Yeah, their new browser is actually
not horrible,
half decent.
Okay.
Yeah,
I noticed that we have a computer here at the radio station that's defaulted. The search is defaulted to Yahoo, and when you type it in, I think they use the reverse algorithm of Google. Google sends you the top hits, you know, top down. Yahoo goes bottom up.
Well, you know what it was. There was a top operative of Yahoo that infiltrated Google, or at least he thought he did. They allowed him in because they knew who he was. They gave him crap information. It's like, here, take this algorithm back to Yahoo.
He did.
Sabotage. And it was reverse.
You want to find out about something? Here's a website nobody's ever looked at before. Try there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Be the first one to read it.
This was not published yet. Try that one.
You Google election results, you get Gore versus Bush.
Exactly. You get hanging chads.
Oh, man.
Wow, you got to be pretty old to know what that means.
Exactly. Sorry.
Back to that guy, though. So I'm like, this is nothing. You know, I just put it on my computer or whatever.
Oh, did you like throw it in the trash can right in front of him?
No. I just put it on my computer. Here's the back, you know. And
describe
then,
the guy, though. Is he young, old? I mean, what?
He's a short, young Mexican guy.
20s.
Okay.
20s, give or take. Okay.
Can you say Mexican?
I would hope so.
American.
I think I saw, some video, some like SJW video or some guy spazzing out another guy for calling another guy Mexican.
Really?
It was like, he's
of
from Mexican
Latin descent.
Fine. He's of an olive skin tone. Yeah. So send him on his way, forget about him, don't think about him for the next couple weeks, and then I come back to work and the ladies up front, they're like, yeah, he said he stopped back by looking for the money. I finally caught up with him again. He kept coming in asking for money for us playing his. I was like,
I was there for that one.
Yeah, I was like, you might have gotten that reversed a little bit. Yeah. Like you gotta. We would never pay somebody to play their music. You pay me illegally is how that goes. Have you never heard of that?
Payola. And,
this is a guy, like, I doubt he knows any Spanish. All right, let's just say this is a boy who played a lot of Fortnite in his mom's basement is his defining characteristic, I feel. And he makes a little music from on the side. But he came up here and I overheard him talking to the ladies. I'm looking at him out of the corner of my eye thinking, like, man, I really need to start bringing a gun to work.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing them out of the corner of my eye and I'm hearing him and he's just like, pick up money. And the lady's like, I don't exactly know what you're talking about. You know, Carolyn up here, very sweet. She's going to, you know, just defer to somebody as much as possible. And he's like, yeah, just be here to pick up that money. And I get up and like talk to him like, what's going on, man? Is this like, do you think this is like an insurance office or something? Do you know where you're at? And he was like, well, I dropped music off and I just need to collect, you know, my royalty or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't work that way, man. I would go ahead and just introduce you into the music environment here.
I suggested he gets with a promotion company. Yeah. I'm like, listen, I don't take music from just somebody off the street. I get sent it, and if I like it, it gets played.
Here's the thing. Let's say that guy brought in something that was dynamite.
A banger. banger.
And this was not? Is it?
It was not.
You could absolutely put it on the radio. That's how it began originally.
It's all got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we put on the music. People then hear it and like, oh my goodness, did you hear that song? I got to find it.
Was ist das?
Yeah. So then they call the radio station. Play that again, will you? I want to hear that song again. Then they call, then they do whatever they can. In today's day and age, they Google what was the song with certain lyrics, and then it'll pull up that song. And so you have to ultimately have a product that you want to play.
Of course.
as a program director, and then, or music director as well. And then on top of that, there has to be a ton of people. And I mean like 30% of the listeners to this radio station alone call back and be like, oh, what was that song?
Yeah.
For it to then be like a big enough deal for a small time producer, small time agent, small time anybody that promoter. Has anything to, promoter that has something to do with music, catch on and say, hey, let's talk about this song you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then from there, you're going to maybe start getting paid if you're marketable.
Yeah.
If you're, you know what I mean?
Because and we certainly have those connections through here. We've had decent, small time, medium time, and I know big time artists have come through here to promote their work, and it's quite easy for us to be able to reach out to them and to reach out to their agents and promotion folks and share that.
My favorite thing, this guy's not there.
Anybody that's been on our show could do a show in this area for us that we could gather.
Right.
You know what I mean? We could put together something.
And if you hand me something that I'm going to play a bunch on my radio station, I'm still not going to pay you.
Exactly.
Like, you got it all wrong.
It's backwards. Like you said, if you're doing something illegal, payola is the way it goes.
The worst thing is when you get a mid to big time artist who... they want a radio interview, but they want it like recorded because they're too afraid to come on to the air.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like, I don't care who you are. If you're a touring band, you better get used to either calling into a live radio station or stopping in. Like,
exactly.
There's no.
I want to do a live show, but I kind of want to pre-record it first.
Yeah.
You know, we have one recently that was like that. And I did kind of mention to him, I was like, well, next time, let's definitely look at doing a live. People appreciate that, you know? And
when we ended up just playing it as a random.
Somewhere.
And like, I literally stuffed it somewhere that like,
yeah,
because
now I did a very nice job on a story.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna like do a bad job for him, but it was not a job. He's gonna have to do better because me doing him a good job is not gonna get him anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it this way: in the big time, if you are a big band, you go into a radio station. You first go to the sound studio. You do a whole song that they call live at. Whatever radio station, live in 92.1 sound studio. Here's the, you've never heard it here, whatever.
Yeah.
So you got that, and then you go into the production studio, and they've got a sheet of liners that you're,
this is Cole Swindell saying, Katie, listen to number one country.
All that. And then you come to the morning show, and you have your 10 minutes max, unless you're a really good interview, and the morning show's like, hey, we're going to keep them.
Yeah.
You know, and they're hanging out having a good time.
This is great radio.
But if you're big time, or if you're in a big time morning show, they're not going to just give you airtime just because you're a wannabe.
Yeah.
You got to be somebody to. And so the small town USA, you got an avenue in which you may be not a big name.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still get on the radio if you have a good personality, if you have a good song, then you can go. You can grow from
and there's
there.
Got to be a little back scratching going on.
Exactly.
You know, I got an itch. I need a liner or two.
You got a T-shirt to give away. You got a mug to give away.
Yeah,
you got a shot glass to give away.
A ticket.
Our listener, you got a ticket to come. Where's your next show? Is it closed? Can we give away a VIP table?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to my manager.
And then, so be together when you produce we have really good, what is the grassroots? I think it's grassroots promotions or something along those lines.
Mm.
When they come to the radio station, when they're people that they set up, they haven't really since pandemic much, they would bring mugs, shot glasses, T-shirts, not only autographed for the and CDs.
All the stuff that you have had.
Then they would also bring enough for giveaways, like, you know, 5x9 glossy headshots with autographs. You know, just little things that people can physically have.
Got a gift to get. And I feel like this guy here, I don't know what his name is, but I'm going to guess it's Thorne or Devin or something. But he came up here. He learned a lot of life lessons in a very short amount of time.
Good.
Yeah. So maybe next time we see him, he'll be a little more on his game.
Maybe. Maybe you come in straight up like, dude, here's this and that. That's a different story.
Sometimes people need a kick down to realize they're not quite approaching it the right way.
But he might have messed up his chances with me like right from the get-go.
Really?
First of all, the music, and then...
charisma.
Then to just come in here and start asking for money.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if they like sent him away. He came back again being like, money?
Was it you that sent me that 50-cent piece on the streets where the guy comes up to him and is like, coming at him? And 50 Cent's like, he like gets like in a square off position, mm-hmm. like he's about to fight, thinking this dude's coming at him. But he's like, no, bro, I just want you to hear my music, man. I love your stuff, blah, blah, blah. You going to try to fight me, 50 Cent? He's like, well, don't come at me. This ain't the way to do it, bro.
That's not the way to do it.
And I'm sure 50 Cent on a 1,000 times bigger level than mm-hmm. what we get
yeah.
in a radio station.
You beat somebody up is a good way to make them listen to the music that you brought
that's
with
true.
You.
Well, yeah. 50 was about to beat him up because he thought dude was squaring up. Yeah. And dude was like, what, are you going to beat me up, 50? I just want to show you my music.
He's beat me up, 50.
Yeah. 50's like, this ain't the way to do it. Come at me getting up close on the street.
Although
he's been shot.
yeah, exactly. Although at the same time, like I could see a world, maybe not with 50, but with another artist.
Yeah.
Like, or another promoter who like
Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy, yeah. who's like, okay, I don't mind the balls it take. Like, hand me the mixtape, you know. I'll see.
50
you know?
Cent even kind of steered that way right. towards the end of that video.
Right.
He was like, "All right, yeah. I see your fervor.
Reach out to my guy."
Exactly, but this ain't the way to do it, kid.
It's not the way to do it. And then you got that one, a little off the genre, but Logan Paul.
Yeah.
He had that one guy just rush him in the backstage, be like, "I want a job," and like Logan was like, literally like.
What you got?
All right, dude, what you got? You know?
And he didn't have nothing.
And they got, nothing.
I can kind of do the TikTok dances.
Do you want to see?
Did you see the guy? Was it mm-hmm. which one of the Paul guys that the guy showed up at his gate to fight him?
Ooh, I don't know.
See that? He's like,
probably Jake, I would imagine.
One of them, there was like at the, you know, multi-million-dollar mansion gate.
Yeah.
And dude's just like standing there, and they're out there, and he was like, all right, let's go.
Well, you know? How much am I going to win when I beat your ass here?
Exactly.
Oh, nothing? Sorry. I'll just go back inside.
Talk about a multi-million-dollar promoter like Jake Paul. Like, he's just going to fight a guy for nothing on the street,
absolutely,
risk injury.
The businessman.
Yeah, exactly.
But that guy there that went up to Logan Paul, right?
Yeah.
Went up to like a press conference he was doing. That was one of the most pathetic incidences of trying to eke out some internet fame. I mean, and it's a perfect example of what the internet is doing to young men. This is a guy, he's mid-20s.
Totally.
He was a welder making right now. If you're in a welding, if you
figures,
even know what TIG or MIG stands for, you're about to make six figures a year.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this is a guy who quit his job and then drove, I think, from like Michigan or Ohio, somewhere up there.
Yeah.
Down to wherever
like
Logan
Vegas
Paul's,
or Phoenix.
Yeah,
or
I think
like
that's
it.
Right. I think it was Vegas.
To
this press conference, is like, hey man, I quit my job because I want to be one of your promoters, and the guy's like, well, hey, that's some gumption right there.
That's the
what
worst
else
part.
You got?
That's the most humiliating part.
Yes, no, it's
job.
Not.
I think
it was the TikTok video he made afterwards, but
of him crying,
of him. But maybe you're right. I will give you the most personally humiliating part was that he quit his job to do this, drove all the way down there, had nothing to offer the guy.
Right.
The TikTok video that he made where he's crying because he totally botched the whole opportunity. That's just a afterthought.
Yeah.
That's
the icing on the cake.
The reason I was saying the thing that was most embarrassing is it would be embarrassing enough to drive all the way down and quit your job and have nothing and go up to him. And Logan Paul was like, dude, get the hell out of here. Like immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be embarrassing enough.
Yeah.
What's more embarrassing is the fact
that
he was like, you got 15 seconds. Wow me. You know? And he was like,
a 23 hour drive. You think you would have had you would have had your little shtick together by the end of it. You would have been
dude,
15 seconds, dude. I give a 10
easy,
is
easy.
What I need.
I feel like I could have run up on Logan Paul, gave him 8 bars and he would have been like, we'll see what, you know.
He's like,
you
all right,
here's my card.
Let's talk about it later.
Like something.
It's like, I'm sorry,
juggle?
I'm a little busy right now, but.
You can't juggle? You can't, like, do this with your fingers or something?
Yeah,
like, something.
Make that little frog?
Either make the little frog with your fingers or do, like,
I can't.
do the thumb. You know, even that would have been like,
how
better
does he do
than
it?
Anything. Yeah. The
but
three,
you
and you go
nothing.
Like that.
Yeah, froze up.
Something, you know?
But they froze up.
Totally froze up.
He didn't even freeze up. He didn't freeze up. He just had nothing.
A funny
face.
And
that's what and he's like, well, I can do those TikTok dances.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, okay, well, that's something that makes people money nowadays. But what else? What can you bring to the Paul empire?
Yeah.
Well,
and he's like, "Well, I don't have any friends." Remember that? He's like, "Oh, then yeah." Logan was like, "He was
you
like,
got nobody,
dude. You, this guy's a liar." Remember, he's just like, "This guy's a liar. Well, he doesn't have friends."
Like, he was even like, "You're handsome. You're a good looking guy. You know, Logan Paul tells you you're a good looking guy. You're probably a good looking guy. He's like, how do you, you know, there must be some serious things going on in your personal life where you come down here and you say you have no friends." Mm-hmm. I mean, something wrong with you.
There's just this desperate. I mean, to be honest, the three of us in this room right now probably have a decent chance if we put all of our effort into it to, like, become some amount of internet famous in some form or fashion. Like, even if it's just, like, would you consider 10,000 or 20,000, like, subscribers a good start? Like, we could get there if we tried hard enough. I've seen these people who, like, run up on Logan Paul. Or, like, when I was playing that Magic game and that one guy's just like, he's just Twitch streaming it with one guy. And he's like, "I'm just trying to get out of this 9-to-5. I got two babies," you know. So, you know, that's he's actually trying. We're literally just doing a podcast because we're voluntold to for the most part. Right. And we're like uploading it like, bleh.
At this point, there's nobody making us do it. We do it because we like hanging out with each other in this room, I think.
Right.
In the grand scheme, we like putting out some stuff and we like the fact that we have people listen to us every week.
People listen to it? That's just some news to me.
I'm telling you, it's surprising.
I thought I was just talking to you guys.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme, I think the ultimate is we come here, we would do it probably with three listeners.
Exactly.
Because we like to come hang out.
Well, that's exactly the difference.
Because, like, look at the untalented people who are famous on the internet. Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, there could be some form or fashion we do.
They're
it,
hot,
but I'm not,
is the thing.
And there's a lot of that,
well,
too.
Nope. There's a lot of it, and that's a talent, being hot.
But I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about people with some form of content, and they suck, and they got, 100,000 subscribers.
Mm, yeah.
That's all I'm saying, is that we're trying, if we just did that, we could probably have something. But, I don't think any of us really want to be internet famous. I'm not really too worried about it, you know?
I produce what I produce on social media, like my daily activity type stuff, that story stuff. Mm-hmm. I produce that for the ones that listen to the show, that listen to The Regrettable Now, that listen to Hosting Hochtown, that tune in for whatever content I'm producing. I don't produce daily stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sporadic. But if I'm doing something interesting, if I'm going to the big ball game, or if I'm sitting at the graduation, I'll post a little something about that. But
sure.
Most of us, don't have the time, honestly. Yeah. And
don't think about it. I'm enjoying the moment.
Sure. I know I've told you guys before. I've read that Forbes article at the end of 2021 talking about it was a article, interviews with the top 10 TikTok influencers of 2021. The unifying theme from every one of those was that it takes a lot of work. These people were putting 16 hours a day into their TikTok. And look, we all have, if you're balancing life well, you got your 8 hours of work, you got eight hours of free time, 8 hours of sleep. If to think that 2/3 of those now you're putting into TikTok, man, and that's leaves you in.
That's not a hard 16.
No, it's certainly not. Like, but is it one that you feel real proud of at the end of the day? I don't know.
But to put 16 hours of shows in, you would have to do, let's say, 4 or 5 shows, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine doing 5 shows a day.
Mentally wear
here
you out.
In the studio. We're just worn out by the end of the day after couple of shows.
You got it, and it's a perfect thing that we feel here every day. You do a good show, that just means you have to like do another good one tomorrow. It's just this constant like feedback loop where
beat yourself.
You just got to do better and better and better. And
if you work 16 hours a day at something, like, there's no way you're going to be not coming up with something. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, they're talking about how hard it is. Like, how much of that 16 hours a day is like,
it's brainstorming.
I ate a spider yesterday. Look for something even more crazy to eat today.
Desperation of that I feel like, I don't know, it would affect my mental health personally.
Of course. But it's just when I think of somebody saying, like, I'm working 16 hours a day, they're like,
well,
the ideas and the equipment and learning and
I think most successful people aren't thinking about that. It's just coming to them because they are living the most successful people, it's just interesting whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't have to make what do we got to do now?
Right. Thought you put into something, the less like popular it'll be.
Yeah. Well, we proved that with our prep here. think about it. A lot of times we prepare, and we never even get to some of that or a lot of that. But we'll go off on a tangent on something we really didn't prepare a whole lot on.
Right.
A lot of the time. Not every time. We also are professionals. We know preparation is what we fall back on when there isn't that tangent to go off on.
Right.
You know, so there's a balance to have both of them, for
Definitely.
For sure.
But some people are just naturally good with it, and some not. Like, you know, especially on, like, YouTube. I've said it before, like, YouTube has made it so anybody can do it, like, even if you're ugly. Like, you just scroll the YouTube list, and it's like, ah! Like, I can't believe you have a high-quality camera shot of your face right now. Like, that's awful.
And TikTok is even easier, it seems, than than YouTube these days.
I feel like TikTok is the one where you need to be hot a little bit, at least.
There's people who make a killing on TikTok who are ugly, but pretend to be hot. All these I've seen these recently. The New York Post every day has got like a new catfish article. Where it's just the most fugly person you could imagine, but thanks to a few like makeup. I really had no idea that makeup can transform an individual so much. And dentures, obviously. And
you talking about the same woman I'm thinking of?
There's like a million of them I can think
there's
of.
There's one that has made the rounds in the past month and a half that is like old crackhead looking, old, like beat up, old looking, right?
But like 10-10 when.
But then she puts her makeup on, puts her teeth in, and
the filter.
And probably a filter with it. No guarantees, but all of a sudden she is. So she goes from like 48.
Yeah.
And I say old in the sense of 48 with a rough ass past 28 years.
Yeah. 48's old to be on TikTok. Too,
yeah. Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But now it turns into 28. And, you know, no mileage on her. You know what I mean?
yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Not all clapped out.
Exactly.
On E all the time.
Exactly.
Low on coolant she is.
Overheating.
Yeah, overheating.
Them ball bearings are definitely worn out.
Squeaky.
Oh, man. And you muffler. Yeah. You need to fix that.
Yeah. This is incredible how much time I might waste on something, man. Like watching stuff like yesterday. During the day, I watched, like, that's when I stopped. I watched a few things yesterday and I was like, I'm putting this down. And I really did not have my phone all last night.
Yeah.
You know, and because I watched a few, they were entertaining enough. I watched one where a guy like tricks a scammer. You know, that I was telling you about that, and the scammer freaks out and this and that. I like watched some of the public freakouts, and we had a conversation. So we went camping over the weekend and had a great time. With the people out there, some of whom might be listening to this right now. We got into a discussion at one point about First Amendment warriors.
First Amendment warriors.
Is that what it is?
Remind us what First Amendment is.
This is freedom of speech. Okay. I don't know how much it ties into this. It's more like about your rights, I guess, and all this. Maybe they're just like constitutional warriors or something. Okay. But they're the ones who provoke and prod police on purpose to express and exercise their rights. But my argument against it was it's kind of basically it's really lame, and police can at the end of the day do whatever they want to you. Now you might win the case after, but
in the
like,
moment
your trachea is crushed,
right?
Like ultimately, you know, and at the end, like the most that ever happens is you get a dude like suspended without pay for a couple weeks or something. Yeah. Like it's rare to get a guy
to get
fired.
Suspended without pay. You have to have shot somebody, unjustifiably executed them on the streets.
Right.
They usually just get a free vacation out of it. And got to remember too that thanks to the Patriot Act right now, like you can be detained in custody for 72 hours before they can before they have to charge you with something. That's a whole weekend and a day. That's a long weekend where you're going to be sitting in jail and then them release you afterwards. And there's not a dang thing, not a repercussion you can bring to him afterwards.
Like ultimately I agreed with everything he said about what should be basically is the way it ought to be and the way there is, right? Tom Berenger, Sergeant Barnes from Platoon. But he, you know, I just couldn't disagree more that this type of exercise is terrible for
generally it's overly provocative
police. Societal and police relations.
Police don't like to be provoked. Humans don't like to be provoked. Let's remember police are humans. We all want them to be robots until the
with
moment
a gun on
that
their
they
hip.
Deal with us.
Right.
Yeah.
They're humans with a gun on their hip, bro.
Right.
Don't provoke something like
you're
that.
You're gonna provoke like in RoboCop. All right, it's one thing. All right, RoboCop, He's still got a little humanity because of his face is like human or whatever. But then that thing that they introduce later on to be the new police officer is just like a giant robot that has like Gatling guns and stuff on it. You don't provoke that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no thought on it.
No. Yeah.
No. And I watched a few of the videos and I feel like I watched a good mix of ones where like the dude definitely knew his right and was able to leave. But I can't imagine anybody watching these videos knows rights like they think they do.
Oh, absolutely.
You make the video if you think you know the rights, or like this guy, you know, where he just gets pulled over or something or other. And he's, you know, of course, I still think it's pretty just assholish to like roll your window up on a cop and be like, I don't have to answer your questions, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, camera right in their face.
Yeah.
You want to annoy me? Just go ahead and as soon as I have an interaction with you, stick your phone right in my face and start recording it.
Exactly.
We're already off to a bad start.
Yeah.
But now you're talking about the guy who, or a man or woman who is tasked with protecting a society, you know,
charged
who has
with your
an authoritarian profession. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong
maybe
way
a bully,
it, but who has authoritative abilities?
Who could be an honest to goodness bully?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right.
And if you are one of these warriors and you end up getting off and just not, you know, not getting arrested or anything like that, that was probably still just in the cop's hands, not your knowledge of your rights.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because again, a cop will find a way, dude.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, he can always, or they can always find a way. And then the other one I watched a couple where it was just kind of individuals interacting with cops, some good, some they get arrested. But the one that bugged me the most is this one where these two guys armed to the teeth with AR-15s and sidearms and knives and ballistic vests and face masks and just combat tactical gear.
Yeah.
And they just walk into a police station, just walk in. And the first thing they say is like, it's good. We're good, like that. And you have like literally 15 cops, some on the staircase from the side, some out the building and then around to the front to catch them from behind. And they're all just aimed at... And they're going crazy, right? Put the effing gun down.
Makes
put
sense.
It
There's
down.
Been a lot of police officers. Just look at New York City, how many officers have been assassinated the last 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's higher than ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in L.A., too, it's bad.
Sure.
But
Chicago, Dallas, how many police officers were killed by that like,
oh my gosh,
that ex, that army veteran?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a dozen or something, you know?
Insane. I wouldn't... And guess what? Like, from what they were like, this is legal. Like, that's what they were yelling out, you know? Of course, they're terrified, just throwing their guns down, you know, and like on the ground and this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, what
reaction
did you think was going to happen? I mean, like, you don't need to exercise that right, my friend, because you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the fallacy in the whole argument. Your rights and all this stuff and blah, 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 and what you think they can and can't do, and you're right and what you think is right in society and what is wrong and blah, 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 you still might have got shot in the head.
Yeah.
Nothing would have come out of it at all. Like,
it's
those cops would have been like, what am I? There's two, like, armed psychos come in.
Nothing would have happened for the police.
Exactly.
I mean, and rightfully. I mean, not everything has to be wholly expressed in law. Like, we have to just understand things as a society. You know, nowhere in the Constitution to say you can't go to a movie theater and yell fire in the middle of it. I'm pulling out
not in the Constitution, you're correct.
Right. Just to simplify things, that's an age-old logical argument that's been used, you know, to talk about, hey, there are limits to certain amendments, and that one in particular, the first, limits to your constitutional rights. No, it doesn't say you can't go to a movie theater and yell fire, but guess what? If you do decide to do that, and a couple people get trampled to death in the chaos that ensues afterwards, believe me, you're getting a manslaughter or a negligent homicide charge against you.
And even if nobody gets hurt, the point is you're not getting jailed for yelling fire.
Right.
That's not a law. It's like disorderly
inciting
riot or something like that. Like, it's a different thing. You're not free from the consequences of what you say, right? There's nothing, there's no law saying you can't do it.
Yeah.
Right. It's just you might get locked up for
the consequences of you doing that. And even if there is nobody hurt or this and that, like still, you know, you what you said, inciting or yeah. disorderly conduct or public, you know, whatever.
Criminal mischief or something.
Or that's my, public or criminal mischief.
My big thing is that discussion we're having around the campsite. It was a good one, but it's just there was just I feel like some flawed thinking. It's too much. Our society is too reactionary at times, and we have to be a little more progressive thinking in these regards. Is you have these First Amendment, Second Amendment warriors who go and want to. They say they're trying to hold law enforcement accountable to the Constitution. Sure, there is certainly an argument to be made there, but why are we doing this like after the fact by like provoking law enforcement when the number one thing we should be doing is I mean, this is a democracy. We are a society based upon laws. So what do? You try to change the laws. You add new ones. You adopt existing ones. And the guys who these First Amendment warriors, I doubt that any one of them has ever like. Written their attended a city council meeting, attended a quorum court meeting,
exactly. Right.
Written their state representative. Like, I mean, there are ways to hold our democracy accountable besides sticking a camera in a police officer who's just like a 9-to-5 guy, you know. And let's just
it's
say,
a job at the end of the day.
99% of the crap that police have to deal with is just that. It's crap. They just went and dealt with a suicide or a domestic violence incident, or they just pulled somebody over and wrote them a ticket, and they were getting cussed out by them the whole time. That police, it's like I heard you guys talking this morning about service department employees. You don't deal with people in their best situations. You certainly don't in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So when
just
now
wiping
you,
ass, right? Cleaning crap behind them.
Yeah,
know, like,
right.
Like literally.
Cleaning the crap of society.
Yeah. Not wiping ass.
Argue,
yeah,
to argue crap. On the other side of that, though, those phone warriors that don't mind recording an officer in his line of duty, they recently here on a local level, there was a local law enforcement personnel that was caught with alcoholic beverage right there in his cruiser.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Caught on camera
because of one of those. So I think there is a level of accountability that knowing that those people are out there has, but the ones that we've all seen go way overboard.
Right. Sure. And maybe the argument is if people were a little more involved with the folks that they just willy-nilly vote into office in this particular area, they would know that the guy was a drunk.
Exactly.
And maybe shouldn't have been hired in the first place.
Right. And the main thing for me, and you know what, like Thomas Jefferson or whoever, Benjamin Franklin would maybe call me a wimp or something for saying it, but like America's so great and so free-feeling, I'm cool with like just doing what a cop says. To be honest, like I'm like I am of the mind of the, you know, just don't provoke and just give up essentially for me, you know. But also I know I'm white and I'm probably not going to get shot.
You got the benefit of the doubt.
I do. So I'm of that mind state at this current moment. Like again, maybe one of the founding fathers would say this isn't what this country is about. You shouldn't have to trade that blah 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 for this and that, but I'm almost like, dude, I don't care. I can smoke and eat a cheeseburger on the lake.
You have freedom of, not freedom from.
Right.
So you can, you have the freedom of expression. You can speech all day, but you don't have the freedom from the repercussions that may come if you say something to somebody doesn't like, even if it's legal or not.
Right.
What's going to be more effective in the long run is not sticking a camera in a cop's face. It's gonna be going to your city council and demanding the folks who hold the purse to provide more resources for your sheriff's your city police office to not buy another tear gas gun or another one of those tanks with the battering ram on the front of it. A little more training, you know, is what they need. Specifically when it comes to like racial relationships, things like that. It's training is the key to this, and also making sure that police departments aren't like understaffed and poorly resourced, because we all know that I'm sure all three of us have been in situations where, like, we're not sure if, how we're going to make our budget, if we're going to be able to pay our bills off next week. Man, you start things get a little tense. You get to start get a little desperate, and and generally out of that desperation, you don't make good decisions. Or you don't do you don't plan properly.
Yeah, you don't make good decisions out of a bad situation, right?
No, like
it's just going to be kind of parody at the best.
But you train a good guy, and he's going to do a much better job in that, but you can train a bad guy all day and he's still going to be an asshole.
But that, in that training process, you know, you should be able to weed out the bad. If the, you know, if the old dog can't learn a new trick, man, you're gonna have to get a new dog.
Like yearly psych tests, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they do that, but like that might
do can't something. Jump they do high when enough they start. Off the ground to do any tricks.
Right. That's
true. And a friend of mine had a really good idea, because one thing that I was thinking of and I brought up is you know, of course, I love the idea of cops with body cameras. Cops love body cameras. It has made their jobs so much easier in certain situations to be like, ah, well, obviously the citizen was lying about not being drunk. Here he is on my body cam, like stumbling all over. It's Mel Gibson. Any case, my idea is, like, maybe they need to start building cars with cameras that, like, if you get pulled over, there's a camera that can see the police officer. But again, now we're getting back to, like, Jefferson and Ben Franklin. You know, now you're trading your freedom for security. That's a losing formula. So what a friend of mine suggests is, man, when you get pulled over by a cop, he gives you maybe he writes you a tip, whatever the situation is, he gives you a code that allows you to access his body cam footage. Because that's one thing, cops have body, you know, most police departments now have body cam footage, but they don't release it. Or if they do, it's been edited, or they wait months after the incident before they do. It's not publicly accessible. And to be honest, it's taxpayers, it's tax funds that are paying for those body camera. Yeah. Why not just go ahead?
More accountability and
absolutely,
from the public,
and you idea. Just get a code when on your ticket or whatever interaction allows you to go ahead and download that video. So now you have the same thing that the police department has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like that idea. I think that, and again, now we're not adding more cameras, more surveillance, and all that. We're just kind of using the things that I think we all think is a good idea, anyways. Yeah. Just making more transparent and accessible.
Yeah,
I think the idea though of relinquishing some freedoms shouldn't allow you to have any freedoms at all is overshooting completely.
Sure,
because let's use seatbelts as an example. We know 99.99999% of the time a seatbelt will save your life versus hinder you from getting out in a fire or something like that. But yet, if it wasn't the law, which ultimately became in early 90s, I think, people wouldn't do it just because not thought of for the most part. When it became law, now 99.9% of the people actually just buckle up without thinking because it's law. And that, so the lives saved outweigh the loss
freedom.
Of the $15 or $30, whatever the cost is for the ticket.
And we have to be able, we have to be willing to make that sacrifice, because if you look, what is the history of government? It's about creating an institution that keeps people from killing each other in a particular area.
Yeah.
Because if you look, you know, I mean, you take
law and order.
You can take two male lions that are from different territories, put them in the same thing. They're going to like battle to the death. Mm-hmm. Yep. Two tarantulas are going to battle to the death. Humans. Yeah. You know, I think we've mentioned it before, Guns, Germs, and Steel, that book by Jared Diamond. He starts it off with a discussion of New Guinea tribes as some of the most unadvanced, most primitive humans still around. And when two like random New Guineans meet in the jungle, they will sit there and trace each other's family lineage with the idea that they want to find the common ancestry between the two of them. If they don't, they'll fight to the death.
That's
because
crazy.
One of them is not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And that is government, is trying to force people to just not kill each other if they live in the same town or area or whatever. Right. And that requires laws. Now we've adapted to them. Now we just think of instinctually, like, I feel like very few people don't blow through a red light because they're worried about the criminal charge they're going to get.
That's now the life that they can take.
It's the life or their own and somebody else's. And especially they might take the life of somebody that's probably maybe or might be fairly important to the society they live in.
Or even if they're just very selfish people, that their car would get messed up and they'd have to deal with insurance.
Sure, that too.
Yeah. Hey. But that's an inconvenience.
He's trying to take that selfishness and make it for the betterment of society. Exactly.
I guess I would say probably the biggest argument that people have when it comes to trading freedoms for security is TSA. Right. That was the one that, like, when the Patriot Act and everything, like right after 9/11, people were like, OK, this is kind of ridiculous.
But flying on a plane is a total, absolute 100% gift that is given to us. Mm-hmm. It's not a right.
Mm, yeah,
absolutely.
And it's when you step on a plane, regardless of what you had to do beforehand, you kind of relinquish a lot of freedoms, don't you?
You have to. You could die. You could all die if something goes wrong.
You can't exactly do whatever you want on a plane.
Right.
And it's a business, you know? A business can make sure that you don't do certain things.
You have to lose some rights when other people's rights are in place.
Right.
You know what I mean?
When you're talking about in a cockpit that, you know, that's 100 square feet, that's 30,000 feet in the air. Yeah, you're going to have to relinquish a couple of your rights just to ensure that everything goes the way it's supposed to.
Exactly. I guess the next big one would be like the leaking of information by like Edward Snowden and stuff about how they're farming our information to protect us, you know, and make sure that we're not terrorists and this and that. You know, I don't really have an idea. Like, I don't have like a huge opinion in the matter either way. But I mean, the TSA kind of went, it's very overboard.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? I'm not sure it could happen again, to be honest. I really don't think that another 9/11 could happen.
Right.
With or without the TSA.
The
job is done.
Now they lock the cabin doors.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the pilots are. It used to be, and remember, I'm sure one of the times that we flew as a kid, I don't know if you remember, I've done it, been into the cockpit of a plane multiple times. Yep. When it's flying, they don't let you do that no more. Now they lock the door and stuff. And that axe that they used to have right by the cabin.
It's on the inside now.
No. Yeah, it's on the inside. Yeah, no, they took that out too. Yeah. That way you can't just bust the door down and get inside.
I'm not going to claim
cockpit, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not like a security expert, but I feel like locking some reinforcement on the actual plane side. A little training maybe with maybe you can have regular stewardess and like air marshals, air marshals on planes, stuff like that. And then just at the airport, metal detector, let's check your shoes, you know, make sure you're not this and that. Like the x-ray, the ball scanner, the ball touching, the asshole probing, like all
that's
that
a little
is
extra.
That's no. I'm saying that's, I think that's a little far. I think it's a little much, you know, and basically, and I'm not saying Benjamin Franklin is a model that anybody should ever live by, but if Benjamin Franklin was like transported to now and he understood what all this was and a plane and all that stuff, like
give him a few days to catch up.
Give him a few days, smoke weed. But chocolate, you know, ooh man, this is good. It's available everywhere. He would see somebody getting a finger in their butt looking for a bomb or something. He would be like, what has happened?
I don't know.
This is not at all what we were thinking of when we started this nonsense.
True, but he'd also be like, but you got bombs in your shoes now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shoe bombs? You could blow this whole place up with something in your shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You better check all that shit.
Yeah.
You got Al-Qaeda?
Yeah. What the hell?
Maybe.
We had
maybe.
The South.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I think he wouldn't. I don't think he would approve of it. I don't think so. You know, and again, that doesn't mean anything, but what everything was founded on in this whole thing, trading freedom for securities deserves neither.
Well, he didn't know
and
nuclear bombs.
No, that's true.
And there's certain idea what he would, you know, and maybe the philosophy there would be that a plane's got to go down every once in a while just to make sure that is an acceptable risk to ensure that our rights are not getting infringed upon. It's a similar argument to what Second Amendment people say about mass shootings in this country, is that, man, these things are going to happen. You have to let them happen, because what's more important than stopping a mass shooting is just making sure that we all have guns.
Right.
I mean, to boil it down.
But who are you to decide which rights I choose to
give up
or accept or take? Yeah.
But the NRA is.
I may love guns, so that's one of the rights that I will die on.
Right.
I may have never touched a gun in my life, so that's one of the rights y'all can have. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. And that's
who,
like,
are you to choose?
Right.
Which rights? You can choose for yourself.
But nobody asked. You know, they just got taken.
Yep.
You know, like, what if the TSA, like, where can the TSA stop?
You asked the question. I'll answer it about the TSA or the Snowden and how far. If Snowden were giving away operatives' names that now could be found.
Oh, like Dick Cheney did?
Right. Oh. Versus if Snowden's given away the fact that the TSA is just gathering all of our shit and collecting the data. Right. I wish the TSA would have just said, hey, we're collecting this stuff. You know what I mean? I wish they would have done it.
Man.
But I think that if there is a person, an actual person on the end of that, could lose their life because they're an operative that is now.
There's a huge distinction in whistleblowing to that. And honestly, with the NSA data collection, like, sorry, Snowden, you were the last one to realize
that. Exactly. Yeah. You just proved it.
Yeah. Basically. He gave the documents.
We knew.
But he also did in a horrible way. I mean, he released it to media and news outlets and stuff.
WikiLeaks.
Not Snowden, right?
Yeah,
they weren't.
Yeah, it was straight to Julian Assange, which was part of like the controversy is to give it to that guy. Now he also worked with Glenn Greenwald of the Guardian. He was at the Guardian at the time.
Yeah, the Guardian is the main one I'm talking about. The ones where he handed off those like dossiers or documents that had redacted names on it through Photoshop.
Yeah. Oh,
so they could just remove the redaction.
Yeah.
100%. So
I see police records all that, like, online all the time that are still doing that. You just copy and paste it and the black bar is gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's just gone. Or you can like reverse the pole. You can reverse the polarity of the image and it's like, boom, it's like right there. But imagine not the NSA. I'm just talking about the TSA at the airport, what they can do to you. You know, imagine if like, you know, they could just like randomly select people and bring them into a room. You got to strip naked. Like, I mean, if that happened to you,
they can.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just saying, if that happened to you, wouldn't you feel wrong about it?
Yeah, I'm sure I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, so, like, and where does it stop? What if they just made you strip naked in front of everybody? What if they, like, you know, like, that's the argument. I'm not
saying what if everything to death.
That's NIMBYism right there, though.
That's important, though. That's important, though, because
we all want that until it happens to us. And then we're like,
well, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I'm not making the argument. I'm just bringing up the argument.
But it's kind of one of those things after 9/11. It was just like, we need to make flying more safe. We can't let this happen again. TSA, figure it out. And then there was no accountability for it afterwards.
So we did. The people didn't task them. They just did it.
The government did.
We're a democracy. What is the first three letters of the Constitution? We the people. I mean, that's
right. But we don't have a say in that.
I mean, indirectly, we do. It's a representative democracy. We certainly do. We just don't exercise it very well.
Right.
But you asked me, or if you're asking the
difference
question,
between theory and practice, for sure.
For me, in my opinion, the line is drawn where a crevice is opened.
Right.
So if you have luggage, they can check that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a butthole, they cannot check that.
Right.
That's where the line is drawn.
But they can
physically
yank you and check your butthole.
But
if
you can
wanna, if you
want to
fly, if you want to fly.
But, yeah, but
you
that,
can
is that not
fly
the
then
risk that, I mean, that's exactly
that back,
it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. How much are you willing to trade? I am willing to not have my butthole, so I will risk butthole bombs.
And my dad drives everywhere he goes because of that.
Right.
And just be,
seriously.
Yeah, and I
that's
hate flying,
he
so
he's not going to fly.
Yeah, we're not. No, I don't fly, so I don't really have a dog.
I mean,
fight.
Is that point? Is,
I'm just. I'm not
are you
making
willing
the argument.
To,
I don't have. I said at the beginning of this that I don't have an argument.
Sure,
I said that. I'm bringing up
said,
the argument.
You don't
that
want your butthole checked, but on the other side of that, are you okay with a plane going down from time to time due to terrorist act, like a terrorist action, like a bomb?
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah. And you know, in some part of us, maybe we should all be. Feel that way
because it happens so rarely.
It happens so rarely.
But what if it was guaranteed to be your plane?
Well, I mean, that's just the risk.
Then you wouldn't lie. Then you wouldn't lie.
That's too hypothetical.
That's way too hypothetical.
I'm willing to give up somebody else because I don't fly.
Right.
That's what I'm.
It's to give up a random. It's again to go back to gun right. This America. I love guns, and I do own guns, and want to keep owning guns. But I also at the same time know that guns will be used. I mean, I had a terrible mass shooting the other day in Buffalo, of all places. Mm-hmm. You know, this is such a neighborly.
Targeting specifically black people.
Yeah, absolutely. And You know, at the end of the day, I guess if you put a gun to my head and say, are you okay with that? I mean, I'm not, but I guess I have to be as a supporter of the Second Amendment in the country.
So there's zero mass shootings zero mass shootings in countries that don't have guns?
Certainly not.
Okay,
certainly
so not. Then that's a not a...
Or, I mean, there certainly are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
What I'm saying is that's not a level argument then.
No, it's not, but I mean, you got to... There is that certain you got to take the bad with the good kind of thing.
And then some places just have a lot. Like, remember the first thing
said there, if there were zero guns in the world, then you could take the bad with the good. But you can't do that. So then, well, let's just work on keeping people from shooting people up instead of trying to talk about taking guns.
Right. On that point specifically, me and Jay, the first thing, and this is horrible to admit, I can cut it out if you think it's too bad, but the first thing we heard, because I wasn't paying attention to anything over the weekend, ABC News hits at the radio station, and we hear about the mass shooting. And also how casually ABC News brings it up and moves
and
on to the next
on
thing.
Right.
This is probably the only country in the world that can happen. While certainly there's mass shootings in other places, it's a lot more big of a deal, and you know, real reform can come after them. Here it's just like sweep it out.
When's the next one gonna happen?
Yeah. I mean, it's so normal, it's gross. But again,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I told y'all that, like, because I live in America, I'm totally be like, if I get pulled over by a cop, search me, I don't care, like all that stuff. That's where I'm at. And if I went to go fly, I would do all the TSA stuff, and I wouldn't be the guy saying, this is, and making a scene. I'm just bringing up the argument. And like, there's parts of it that, like, as just an American, even a little bit, I'm like, yeah.
But I can accept that note coming from you because I know how you are.
Right.
You will do that.
Ultimately, I don't care.
But there are people that will make that argument.
Yeah.
That have zero interest, will never fly, has never thought about flying, but they're going to argue in a setting.
Yeah.
They'll argue, I'd never wear a mask on a plane. Right. Well, now that's not a big deal.
They might go to the airport just to do that. Just like these guys show up at a police station just to see what'll happen if I carry in my guns. Really, I mean, the guys who fall on the argument that I'm bringing up are probably the guys who are shoving phones in cops' faces, who are like, these are my rights, you know, I'm not going to trade this and that for my rights and this and that. So it's, you know, I don't know. But I think the TSA and then especially the NSA afterwards, those were the two, like, man, it was like bam, bam, as far as what we're cool with giving up security for freedom for to feel secure. I mean, like, and I honestly, the NSA doesn't necessarily make me feel secure, but I don't know.
They've
much
never
about
stopped
it.
Us as
exactly.
Far,
I mean,
you know, and
the closest they got is that one in like Buffalo or something. No, Montana. They did this one thing, like, where they thought in Guantanamo Bay. Never mind. They were talking the dude
stop a terrorist attack.
And, yeah, in Montana.
Yeah.
It was like, where the are all the Muslims in Montana?
Yeah, there,
like,
ain't they no did this ISIS whole thing that knows where Montana is. Yeah. But, you know, a little bit of the problem here is that we're having this discussion here right now, And to go back to a point that I made a little bit, man, we are a democracy. It all kind of starts with us. These are the type of conversations everybody needs to be. We all need to be talking about race. We all need to be talking about our freedom versus the security, because these are the big issues that are facing us right now. And most of us are too busy dancing around on TikTok and stuff to ever get to that point. There are such important conversations that need to be had in this country. And that is there are pros and cons to a representative style democracy. Yes, not any one of us listening or one of us in this room can go to Washington, D.C. and introduce a bill or make any change. We elect people to do that. But at the same, what we're doing is we're electing these people and just giving them free reign. Just like, I voted for you, just go do whatever.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
and that's not very representative.
No interest in the process after electing them.
It's fire and forget democracy. Yep. Right. We vote for it and then that's the...
And it doesn't really matter.
We wear the little pins that said, I voted. You didn't do shit. You really didn't.
98% of people don't say what they want, and then they say, well, you ain't done what I wanted, so we're going to elect somebody else.
And didn't Obama and Hillary both vote on the Patriot Act?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, you know, it doesn't even matter what side you thought you were on.
That's
like, whoever
funny.
You voted in, I mean, they're kind of, not that they were representatives, right? But they, you know, still, even the people that you're like,
we're funneling senators, billions of dollars of weapons to Ukraine to kill Russians right now. I didn't get
that email.
Yeah.
What? Poll on my Xbox, maybe?
Yeah.
Let's vote on maybe halving that. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
At least can we do something?
A little accountability for the money. I don't. I just send a blank check. Checks. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. No.
Kind of along the line. Sometimes they by law have to go for the lowest bidder, but you can make exceptions.
Exactly. Well, you got a group of people that are making the decision on which bids to take, similar to the government in the sense that, but it's a smaller level, so you get to actually see them doing that in real time if you go to, back to what y'all were saying, if you go to that meeting.
Yeah.
So can we go? Yeah. We're not going to just all travel to Washington once a week and go sit in session.
True.
But there's plenty of ways to keep up with what they are doing in session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And keep them held accountable.
Is C-SPAN still going?
Yeah. I think they have C-SPAN 2 now as well. That's just how wild it gets. Yeah. And
you got the left side and the right side.
But I have talked specifically about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, during some of my time in D.C. I remember asking a senator from Arkansas at the time who voted against Obamacare, and I asked him just why, and he was like, because I didn't have a single constituent holler at me and say they were for it. And I was like, well, did you have anybody holler at you and say they were against it? He was like, no. And I was like, well, what would have happened if you had one person call you or write you and say, hey, I want you to vote for Obamacare? He's like, I would have voted for it. Now, he could have been just blowing smoke up my ass. But I mean, that is, I will take his point.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll absolutely take his point in that conversation, is that, man, our representatives aren't hearing from us. And, it's not like they're just evil sitting there like, I'm going to do something that nobody agrees with.
I agree.
They're just kind of doing what they do because they're not hearing anything from anybody else.
Yeah. If they don't have any influence from the constituents, then they have to go with whatever that they see around them.
Yeah. When they should just be like a vassal, an empty vassal that just collects ideas and then churns through that and makes a decision from there. No, they are the decision maker now.
I guess that is the point, isn't it? And we just don't.
Exactly. People would rather log onto Facebook and write a book of how such and such isn't doing their job in Washington instead of log on to www.whateverit.gov and actually learn what they're doing in Washington and then let them know the feedback of whether they like it or they don't.
Yeah. Which so is simple. You take the time to write it on Facebook. You might just copy and paste it to www.brucewesterman.gov.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah.
Which I mean, it is understandable that people don't do that. That is again, when we talk pros and cons. Pro, man, living in the greatest country on the planet, and to have a
rocket,
and to have a government that tries to be as unintrusive as it possibly can. Really, it's kind of like, man, we all just get to live our own lives. We don't necessarily have to be involved with our government. Has done a pretty good job running things for a long period of time now.
Yeah.
And the benefit of that is we just kind of get to chill our casual lives. We get to be just casuals.
And think about it this way. Also, on the opposite of that, the people that want to just complain, when they go and actually copy and paste that to Bruce Westerman, he'll like, well, here's the obvious reason why we can't do that.
Yeah. He'll respond.
But
or
if they post it on Facebook, they've got 42 other people that are like, I can't believe it.
No.
And think about how good our lives are that it takes a finger in the butt or or the NSA cataloging our, you know, dick pictures or something like that for everybody's got their file, you know, where we're like, you know, maybe just something.
I got an extra large file.
Oh, man.
And I think it's always just so critical to note, too, that like our Constitution, our government, it's all about, it explicitly says what the government can't do. It doesn't say what the government can do. Right. So the government sees that as like, oh, here's the list of 10 things we can't do, which means we can do anything else. So things like data collection, nowhere in the Constitution does it say. I mean, of course, you got the Fourth Amendment. That's all about...
what was data when the Constitution was written?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You could almost throw data collection under the Freedom of Information. I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And you can access it. Incident I always like to think about with that topic is, I believe it was Tulsa, a journalist out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He learned that his police department was actually collecting, they were making files on individual citizens collected with like license plate recognition technology, CCTV, Because pretty much if you live in a bigger area, every step you make, you're going to be caught on camera somewhere. And yep. they've been using facial recognition technology, they've been making individual files for people to put this. Now, it's not like somebody's going through and actually looking at all this stuff. They're just collecting it. Yeah. He went and did a Freedom of Information Act, accessed it, and showed on a given day, it shows him leaving his house and then getting back. He can pretty much the whole day see himself
That's awesome.
On camera.
But there's
that legally is fine.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing wrong with it legally, right?
I love that because I want you to search back and find out what happened to my body, CSI style.
And that's where the defense from police departments, or if someone steals a car, they can be like, well, we saw exactly where it ended up, you know.
But if you leave your home, you have the...
You lose your expectation of privacy, right?
Exactly.
But I sometimes do question this opt out society that we live in, where this like you have to opt out of things. You're automatically enrolled in it.
I know what you mean.
You're automatically opted in. It's up to you to opt yourself out. And I would much rather like choose to be caught on camera than to like have to go back and tell somebody stop filming me. You know,
right.
To simplify that,
it's tough. I don't know. Like my mind gets pulled in both directions.
Sure.
Because you're
a rational person,
right?
I want to bring up like now, in my opinion, with the collection of me going out of my house, that doesn't bother me as much.
You're not doing anything illegal, right?
But
that's the point.
That's what I think.
It's the whole I'm not doing anything illegal, so it's cool. Yeah, where do we stop?
Right.
You know. So I wanted to bring up, and I know we brought it up on the podcast before, iPhones being able to scan your phone for child porn.
Yeah, right.
Let me just say I'm against pedophilia and child porn. I'm going to take a hard stance here, all right?
That's like kind of out of left field, but all right.
Yeah.
Terrible take.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm real strong.
A little harsh on them, aren't you?
Soft on child porn.
Brought to you by Bleep Bleep.
Yeah. But in my mind, the only thing I'm thinking is, iPhone ain't scanning for that. They're scanning things to gather more information on you, to sell more advertising to you.
If you're a pedophile, they know exactly what products to advertise.
Totally.
Fisher Price
the
stuff.
Best type of, you know, balloon animals.
And, clown noses.
Here's Pokemon cards, right? That's a classic one.
Candy and peppermint schnapps.
Yeah. And they might scan your phone for other crimes.
Sure.
You know, like maybe you rolled the best joint of your life and took a picture of that. I mean,
maybe you downloaded illegal music and now you have
algorithm. Yeah. So like, while you might think like, I'm not doing anything wrong, like what if in that, then they can start getting you on the little stuff like the police, just imagine this, they're taking video of you your whole life or your whole days, you know, and you're like, I'm not doing anything wrong. But then you just get like a ticket in the mail for jaywalking
or speeding.
Like we caught you on that.
Or speeding.
That's pretty rough because I think that takes away the fun out of the game.
Yeah, but that's happening in every
city. That's already happened. Yeah.
Did you see the picture on Facebook of the overview from Arkansas State Police that said we're watching from everywhere?
Ugh.
Oh, that wonderful. Makes me feel real good.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're not, we're thinking like, you know, oh, we haven't done anything. We're not doing anything wrong. I don't mind the police just tracking my every move. But imagine it like that. Wouldn't that be the next thing? Like just ticking the mail. Like, oh man, I got to run across the street to get Easy Mart. Like, and it's just like a $30 fine, but it's just a picture of you in the mail. Like what?
Yep.
They got me jaywalking.
We've all done something illegal.
Like Demolition Man. Like we're sitting here chatting, you say, well, screw that shit. And all of a sudden you get a ticket pop out on the thing because you said the cuss word, which is illegal.
Your social status has declined
exactly.
3 points.
Your credit is gone.
Yeah.
I believe it's not going to go that way, or I want to believe it's not going to go that way. But that is, again, I'm just throwing up the argument about like police tracking your every move.
To your credit,
CCTV, you know, you might... You know, you didn't use your blinker here. $20 fine.
Yeah.
Like just a picture of it or some little video or something.
Now it's totally like we've long had this idea and I kind of like it. Do illegal things. It's up to law enforcement to catch
you.
That's their job. All right. So if they're not catching you, they didn't do their job.
Yeah. So then don't act mad at the police when they're trying
to
catch you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
When they're like, are you doing something wrong?
You take a picture of me speeding, but you were like really at Dunkin' Donuts. Like,
that's disingenuous.
Yeah, it is not right.
Yeah.
That's my issue with the Life 360 thing. You got to catch your kids in the act. You can't be tracking them.
Yeah. You're cheating.
Yeah, it is cheating.
Yeah.
Hey, they'll find ways to cheat more high
tech. That's true.
we're just trying to keep up.
Yeah, that's arms true. Race, your kids are more technologically absolutely. With the phone, and this, they'll figure out some blocker or some like they could just make the trail. Oh, that
shows
you were
at church the whole time.
Yeah.
No, 32 hours straight at church.
It's the Life 360 pin app. You just pin wherever you want to be on Life 360, that's what it shows up to your parents at home.
Yeah.
It's the new Life 360 pin app.
Yeah. I've kind of been in that ditch for a few days now. Yeah, yeah. Should go check and see.
Could you imagine just throwing your phone somewhere like random, being like, and then scurrying out, going, doing what you're wanting, and they're like, you know, they come. Wait, your parents come and find the phone. There's a little note like, "Come find me, got me." Like, you know,
and I wonder how many kids that whose parents have the Life 360 app that could be like, well, "Dang, I want to go, but they're tracking me, but they got the phone." Can't leave the phone behind.
Exactly.
Leave the phone behind.
Oh, no,
the defeat
the
to that
point.
Is to leave the phone behind.
Yeah,
exactly. But you can't bring yourself to do it.
Yeah.
So.
The swinging light in the interrogation room. Yeah. Why didn't you leave your phone?
I'd almost be willing to know that my sons, Jackson and Alexander, the youngest two, 16 and 18, are off doing something minimally
nothing
trouble
crazy.
Troublemaker style. But they left their phones in like a Sonic parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They left their phone, parked their car, put the phones in the car, got in their girlfriend's car, drove off, and went and hung out at a local party or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I would almost be willing to know that they were away from their phones. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that long enough.
Yeah, be proud of
them. I'm like, you go ahead.
Yeah. Still a little faith in them.
Yeah. But, Dad, I did have some drinks last. That's fine.
It's all right. You didn't have your phone on the rest of your life,
but you didn't have your phone on you. You're going to be a fine young man.
You experienced those experiences.
That's right.
Without that phone.
Exactly. You weren't taking selfies with, drinking illegally or underage?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And hopefully my little bit of dad kept them from getting super trashed to where they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
But that'd be the smart. You know your kids.
Yep.
You're in tune with them. because if they just left their phone at home, you'd be like, they're up to no good.
Oh no.
No good.
Oh no.
But to look at what these phones, that's the bad side for kids getting tracked. But sometimes the good things. Is the way they can catch people doing illegal things that way, and it just reinforces the point. No matter what you do, don't bring your phone with you.
Yeah,
but this in Arkansas, it was last year. No, it was the year before. This guy, some rural part of Arkansas, he kidnaps, rapes, kills a woman jogging. It's like a neighbor. It's all farmland out there. I think it was like some farm owners with property next to each other. He actually when they do the search for her, because they can't find her body or nothing, he like shows up at the search and he's acting a little suspicious. They had some things that were just like, man, it's nothing right. But when they did a test on like people's phones in the area, and they found that he was at the exact site where she was last seen jogging, bam, arrested him on that. That was the evidence they used. He immediately confessed to it. Yeah. You know, so
there's a reason this is so highly debated, because I'm pretty sure every point you can bring up will be matched with another point and why and this and that. And
the thing is, we haven't even begun to understand these issues is the biggest. The only thing we know is that we don't really know anything about it.
We don't want to give up our phones.
We're bumbling through this.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that hasn't owned a rifle with a good scope that hasn't thought about scoping someone from a very long distance away.
Come on, bro. Okay. You got to.
So
safety's
true story.
On.
Exactly. Exactly. True story. In Push County, over across the state line, there was a man. I think it was a love triangle gone wrong. I don't remember exactly the reason. A man knew where this guy would be driving his, walking across the pasture. There we go.
Oh, okay.
He knew where he'd be walking along the pasture, so he set up a couple hundred yards away with his scope. Waited till he walked around, shot him dead in the field, left, the whole nine. The only thing that tied him to that area was his cell phone pinged off of that one tower,
leave
that only tower.
You could have committed murder.
Yes. Scott Peterson would have. Yes. Like, he wouldn't have taken his phone out there.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was Christmas. Oh, my gosh. We don't got time.
Can we take a break? And
I don't know if we got time. We're both looking at Jay Lindley.
I got to pee so bad.
Right? Yeah.
You want to wrap it up?
We'll wrap it up.
We've been on it for a minute, though.
Yeah, we have.
And then we can save that one for the next one.
Exactly. Okay. We got this one for the next one. We got some stuff for the next one. So big shout out. I'll tell you one thing. There is one person I wish would have been in on this conversation. That was Laura Lindley, attorney at law from historic downtown to Queens.
She's got the knowledge, the experience over 2 decades.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
The main thing I would want to ask, because I thought of this earlier, I'll make it quick, is what she would advise you to do, because she knows the rights, but at the end of the day, we should still be like, but just comply, babe.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely. She would say comply outside of allowing search.
Oh, okay.
So she would say, this is exactly how I would do it. My wife's an attorney, and she would kill me if I just allowed you to search for free.
Oh, yeah,
so you better have some probable cause.
Yep. So at that point,
or
he
go
would
get
just,
a warrant. I'll wait here till you go wake up the judge.
Yeah. Go get the
canine. Get the paperwork signed. Yeah,
if you think it's drugs,
I got a question on that because I don't know.
Okay.
Is that the point where he could be like, well, I smell marijuana from your vehicle?
Yes.
And then just...
Absolutely.
You're out and search it.
He could.
Okay.
If he's smelling it, then he's going to find it probably, whether it be smoked or green.
I'm just saying, like, there was never a piece of marijuana in your vehicle ever, he could just be like, I smell it.
Then I would, from my clothes on her, you know.
Absolutely file a complaint, too.
Right, right.
But yeah, I would say, if you smell, then that's your probable cause.
Right. Yeah.
But I think if with no marijuana found at all in the vehicle, then the judge would throw out anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even at that point, he finds meth.
Exactly.
You know, because meth don't smell like marijuana.
Exactly. Right.
Maybe give him the whole Ricky thing. Well, maybe if you wash your clothes, officer, you wouldn't be smelling
like marijuana. That's shirt laundry.
Yeah. So the argument there for the thing, like, and I'm down with it, is like after the judge was just throw it away and this and that. But what I was trying to explain to the man around the campfire we were yelling at is like, dude, you might have your throat crushed.
Exactly.
Like you'll be in, you know, like
if
a
I get
full
smart,
body cast and win the trial.
Yeah. But, or the prosecutor just dismisses it before it even ever gets. Like that's one thing people have to make a huge distinction of. There's a difference between being arrested and prosecuted.
Yep.
That's right. a huge journey there.
I got another question. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
My last question on it is, can a cop like detain you and search your vehicle if he just thinks you're like suspicious?
No, should not be able to.
Shouldn't be able to. That's not a thing to be like,
suspicion.
I don't know.
This
guy is looking crazy in the eyes.
Nope.
Looks like he was reaching.
If he says glassy eyes or maybe slurring speech,
maybe.
And that's where those body cameras are going to be so.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then if it gets to the point where he's using that as probable cause, and then let's say they do find something, because that the way our law is, if you do a search warrant on somebody or use probable cause for one particular thing and find other illegal things going on, it doesn't necessarily. Can be used as evidence at that point, right? I mean, there's obviously gray zone. There's gray zone built into the whole criminal justice system.
Yeah.
But let's say you plead not guilty to the charges they're going to file against you, and it goes to court, and you use that body camera as evidence, and it shows you acting perfectly within your wits, and you seem totally sober and fine. Right. Well, obviously, then the law enforcement side of things is going to look like they're lying about.
Yeah.
Right.
The burden of proof is now on them. Yeah. Whereas,
That's interesting, man. It's something I want to look into a little bit more. Not that I'm about to be like, I know my rights, officer. I'm not that guy.
You have the right to get your ass beat by a police officer.
And then win the case.
And win the case afterwards. That's America. God bless it.
It's best to know your rights and be very polite and respectful to the officers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what these warriors could maybe just learn about.
Because if you ever watch an attorney get pulled over, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
They know all of their rights, so they're not going to curb on any of those, but they are very respectful and very decent to the people.
That's how I feel like these guys win. Like the guys who – there was one guy I watched who just had a printed out thing that he just stuck to his windshield when he got pulled over, and like the cop – like I don't know. I don't know what it said, but – he was like, you know, something on there. I think a supervisor had to get called down or something, and then whatever happened. Like, I think it was something along the lines of, I know my rights.
Give me your
supervisor down here, blah, or something or other. But, like, you know, I think these guys are probably attorneys or studied, oh my God, I'm just stuttering like a fool, like criminal law of some kind. But then the dummies just sitting in the basement watch it and think like, oh, dude,
I could do that too.
And
then their emotions kick in.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they're idiots, so it doesn't work out.
And then
you want to be A First Amendment warrior stops schools from banning books because they have a certain word or depict a certain thing. Write to Netflix and be like, don't cancel Dave Chappelle's special because he makes fun of trans. Doesn't even make fun of transgender people. Just like shares his opinion on
heartfelt story about a friend of his. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Twitter, don't be banning folks for saying things on there that don't exactly toe the line that a few people
the woke line.
Yeah, you know. That is where we need to be fighting for First Amendment right now. It's not a overworked police officer who he or she is who knows how many overtime hours, who may have just dealt with a terribly ridiculous situation.
Yeah.
Who now you're just going to shove a camera in front of their face and be an asshole to them and try to make them look stupid. Yeah. People do not like to look stupid, and especially ones with guns on their hips.
Yeah, and if I'm a police officer, I'd much rather have that note of paper given to me than you being a douche to me.
Definitely.
Definitely. Because I may think you're mute or something. You know, can't talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Who knows? You might just take a little more, you know. Exactly. And then the funny thing, because we're going to end the conversation now. You got to go. You got to pee. I want to leave. The funny thing is that we are talking about this and we're totally sounding like right-wing hotheads now or something. Like, freedom of speech is now like a right-wing issue. It's Jordan Peterson. It's that Steven Crowder guy. It's like all the, you know, I watched a couple videos and
back
now it's
and
like,
forth.
Yeah. Well,
remember the church? Churches had their freedoms were going to be hindered because of taxes if you talked about this. And then it was the left, they couldn't talk about. I mean, it's gone back and forth.
It has.
It's crazy.
Currently, right now, it is just the meter is hard over to right. So, like, anybody who is complaining about us being too liberal or something is like, well, now maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they're super conservative liberals.
Man, we're human, bro.
They're liberally conservative.
That's right. There you go.
That's where just so many of us have absolutely just lost touch with reality.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
Be human. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yep. And remember, generally, the right of your fist ends as soon as it touches another person's nose. I mean, that's a simple, that's a good rule of thumb.
I will keep my clenched fist of rights in my pocket.
Was it your rights end where my rights begin?
Some cheesy saying.
That's it. Laura Lindley, attorney at law.
My beautiful wife.
Your beautiful wife, all the support. Ray over at the Tiki Boat.
We're going to do a Tiki Bar showdown.
Yeah. This episode is going to be called We the People, I think.
I like it.
Yeah, and then also shout out to Mountain Fork Brewery, Hochtown Distilling Company, everybody over at the Speakeasy. Janelle,
the bartender.
She's great.
Yeah, she is. Shout out to Shiloh Brock Martin. Shout out to just everybody involved with the podcast. Thank you all so much, and we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Goodbye.